Amen. Everyone, good to see everyone tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Here we go. Exodus chapter number 33 is where we're going to be at tonight. And I want to say thank you to Pastor VJ for the message this morning. I know that spoke to my heart. And between that and Brother M. Bowden, I've been inspired. Brother M. Bowden asked me, Wednesday, what I was going to do during my downtime, if I was going to learn a language or write a song or something. I was over here like, I don't know, read a book, play some video games or something since I can't pick up anything. And between that and Pastor BJ saying, don't waste your waste time, now I got to do something, you know. So I might, I don't know, write a song in Portuguese and then write a book about that song or something. I don't know. We'll see. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Exodus chapter number 33, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to respect God's word by standing this evening. Verse number 18, Exodus chapter 33, verse number 18. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sounds like most of you. Verse number 18 says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the fact that we can come out here tonight and worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the good reports we've gotten today, both this morning and tonight from our missionaries and the work that they're doing. We pray that you would give fruit for their labor. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us tonight, that your spirit would move with liberty. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit and the other men tonight who are going to be preaching and those who are going to be singing and playing for you. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit, and I pray that your name would be magnified and that you would be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us throughout the rest of this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. If you're not already familiar with this passage, verse number 18, the person speaking there, it doesn't say his name, but that's Moses. And this is Moses on top of Mount Sinai. This is the same section of scripture where Moses gets the law and the Ten Commandments. And, you know, you have the golden calf and Aaron blaming it on the mold and whatnot. All that is in this whole section. And chapter 33 is right in the middle of it, okay? And this is Moses back on top of the mountain, you know, after the whole golden calf incident. And he and God have been talking. And in fact, in verse number 11, you can see that it says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. All right, so this was down in the camp. All right, and God had used a veil of cloud so that he could do that, a cloudy pillar. So if you ever go back and read this in your own time, don't be confused. Verse 11 in chapter 33 is in what talking face-to-face because God set up a veil. Verse number 20 is God saying, you can't see my face like just without any kind of filter. Because if you see it without a filter, you're going to die. I'm holy, you're not, and I can't stand to have anything that's not holy in front of me. And so Moses here in verse number 18, we see Moses' request, and that is that he beseeched God. If you see, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He wants to see God's glory. Now, that word beseech is not just that he asked. He didn't halfway, you know, put some effort behind it. Beseech means that he begged. He was begging God. And if maybe there's a time where you've prayed and you've been on your knees before God and you begged God for something and God said, nah, that's not going to be possible right now. Moses can feel what you're feeling right then and there. God, he begged God. He said, God, I want to see your glory. And God said, you know, right now, you can't do that. God's reply was that I'm a God of graciousness, I'm a God of goodness. Look, if you would, again, in verse number 19, he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's God saying, I'm a great and gracious God. I'm good, and I'm all of these things, but, verse number 20, I'll show mercy on whoever I want to show mercy on, and I'm showing you mercy right now by not letting you see my face. You cannot see my face. So we see in the Lord's reply, we see great grace, but we also see a great gap. And there was no man at that time who was closer than Moses. Moses, as we saw, verse number 11, was speaking to God through a veil, face to face, as a friend speaks to a friend, right? He was the kind of guy he could just talk up God anytime he needed to if he felt like he needed to speak to him, and God would allow him to do that. Nobody else among the, you know, anywhere between, Pastor BJ mentioned it, we don't know how many people, but it's estimated anywhere between 1 million and 3 million people. Moses was literally one in a million. One in 3 million who was allowed to speak to God in that fashion. And yet, even here, God says, nope, can't give you that. And Moses' answer to that problem is found in verse number nothing. You won't find it. In fact, the very next verse after that, it says, and the Lord said, not and Moses said in reply, because Moses didn't have an answer. And when it comes to us wanting to get with God, us wanting to have God's presence in our lives, us wanting to have God in our lives, we don't have anything to bring to the table. Moses has no leverage, right? He doesn't have anything he can leverage over God and say, well, you know, you said this. No, God didn't say anything. God said, basically in verse number 19, he says, I'll do whatever I want. I'm God. That's the end of it. He doesn't have any leverage. He has nothing to stand on. He has no promise to stand on that God said, well, you know, if you do this, I'll do this. Nothing. And he has no offering to bring. Moses has nothing with him but a stick. That's all he's got. The clothes on his back and a stick. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't need that. So he has nothing to offer to God. And just as Moses had nothing to leverage, we have nothing to leverage ourselves. We have no standing to come before God and say, well, I want this. Well, that's nice. But if God gives it to you, it's because he's being gracious to you. And we have nothing to offer him except our best. You know, God, I beseech thee therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it doesn't pay the debt, but it's the least you can do. And Moses, he has nothing. So what's God's solution? God's solution is in verse number 21. And the Lord said, behold, number one, he said, there's a place by me. He said, there's a place over here beside me that I want you to get to. He said, Moses, you're here, and I want you to move here. And sometimes in our lives, if God wants us to do something, if God wants to be able to use us, he's got to move us a little bit, right? We might be comfortable in where we're standing at, but God says, I want you to move over here next to me. And I'm thankful, though, that from the start, we can be right next to God. You say, how is that possible? Well, you see, when you get saved, you're in Jesus Christ, right? That's why we pray, you know, to the Father through the Holy Spirit. But what do we say? In Jesus' name. That's how we can come before God. Well, where's Jesus right now? Well, Mark chapter 12, verse number 36, Mark chapter 14, verse 62, Mark chapter 16, verse number 19, Luke chapter 22, verse 69, Acts chapter 2, verse 33, Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12, chapter 12, verse number 2, and 1 Peter 3:22. At least 15 times, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is seated or standing, depending on the circumstance, at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he's at. I can't think of a better place to be than right next to God the Father. So if you want to get next to God, you have to be in Jesus. You have nothing else to bring to the table. And so that's how we get to that place that's by me. Number two, we see a rock to stand on. He says, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Remember, Moses had no standing here. Now he's got a place to stand. He's the rock of ages. He says, stand right here on this rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4 tells us that Jesus is the rock, right? The spiritual rock. Number three, he said, there's a place by me, there's a rock to stand on, and he says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Now, that's where we get our word cleft. Since, you know, our Bible's been written, we've changed the spelling as our language has changed to the cleft, right? So we sing songs like, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. And Rock of Ages, cleft for me. There's no harm there in changing that I to an E. That's just the language changing. But it's the same exact word. And you know, Pastor BJ, I'm a curious person. And that always gets me in trouble. But sometimes, me being curious opens up a door. If you were to go home and look up in your Webster's dictionary, even the modern dictionary, much less the old 1828 dictionary, you look up the word cleft, all right? You will find that it's not just a concave, right? Most of the times, I know me personally, when I read this verse and he talks about a cleft in the rock, I'm thinking of a corner, right? Like if I got back here where this Turkish flag is, this red flag is in that corner, I think, oh, that's the cleft. Mm-mm. That is not what that means. For there to be a cleft means that that rock had to be whole at one point and it got split open by a fissure. It got split open, whether that was through motions of time before, whether that was through the earthquakes and thunderings that God was putting out on Mount Sinai before this chapter here, I don't know. But what I do know is that God calling it a cleft means that rock was whole and then it was split open. And that place being split open gave Moses a place to get into. You know, Jesus was the same way. Jesus was whole and then he was split open. By his stripes, we are healed, right? The way we get in Jesus is through the fact that he shed his blood for us. He was split open. That rock was split open to give us a hiding place, right? The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 26, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and Revelation 13, verse 8, that Jesus, or the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of the world. This was a rock that was prepared. This wasn't just a place that God said, there, that seems like a nice spot for you to hide in. No, God prepared that rock for this very instant. He said, this rock has been cleft open just for you, Moses. And so I want you to get into the cleft of that rock. And lastly, we see not only a rock to stand on, a cleft to hide in, which is a prepared place, but we see a hand to cover and a face to see. Look what he says here. He says, I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And then he says, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. First, we see a hand to cover us now. You know, I'm reminded when I see that God says he's covering us with his hand. You know, Jesus said that my Father put them in my hand. And he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And then he goes further and he says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. So basically what he's saying is God's got you like this. And ain't nothing getting you out. And that's what's covering you now. But it gets better. You see, Moses, unfortunately, he couldn't see God's face, right? Jesus hadn't died on the cross for his sins, right? His sins hadn't been forgiven by the blood atonement of Christ. Jesus hadn't resurrected from the dead. No, he was looking for that to happen, right? That's how he achieved salvation, by looking to the cross. But Jesus had not done that yet. And so Moses didn't have a standing to see God's face. But Paul said, we right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12, Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing here, you can look it up yourself later on. He says, now we see through a glass darkly. We see through a veil, right? Just like Moses saw God's face in the tent in verse number 11 through a veil. He said, that's how we see God, right? We see God in pictures. We see God in his word. We see God in his creation. But we don't get to see God's face. We see his after image, right? We see his back parts. We see the latter end of what he's done. God's passed by, and we're just seeing the after effect of that. And he says, but my face shall not be seen. You know, one day, though, Paul said, we're going to see him face to face as he is, because we'll be holy as he is holy. Amen. That's something I tell you, we can praise God for. Right? If there's nothing else that we take away, I'm sure you'll take away a lot more than what I just went through today or tonight, right? Just from this morning, but from the other two preachers tonight, you're going to get a lot more than that. But if you somehow passed out and you woke up, Brother Dan Wright had to come over and wake you up so he can leave, right? So you can go home, and there's nothing else you remember. And remember this, one day you're going to be able to see God face to face. And that's a glorious day that we can look for. Let's pray and ask God to bless the rest of this service tonight. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that you prepared a place, you prepared a rock, you prepared a cleft, and you cover us with your hands, Lord. And one day, that hand's going to be uncovered so that we can see you face to face. God, help us to hide in that cleft, though. Lord, we want to be by you. We want to stand on that rock. Lord, we want to stand on what Jesus has done for us, Lord. There's, for those that are lost tonight, there's nothing else that they can stand on. There's no other way for them to get to God but to stand on what Christ has done for us. And Lord, for us who are saved, there's no other way that we can have you work in our lives unless we obey you and trust you, just as Moses did. Moses did exactly what you told him to do, and because of that, he was able to see your glory. And one day, Lord, we know that we can see you face to face, and we're so happy for that, and we're so thankful. Lord, please be with us throughout the rest of this service this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.